Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome to The Kitchen Table. This is episode number
25.
Is that like a silver episode or something?
Well, I don't know, but that was my number in high school, like my sports number.
Okay. So. Well, welcome. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Brian.
I'm Jake.
And this is The Kitchen Table. This is a program that we do here at Shine.fm and on the Shine.fm podcast channel as a way of encouraging you as parents that are listening to have those faith conversations with your kids, with your teenagers, with your young adults. We started doing this earlier this year and do it weekly now, and of course now air it on Shine.fm. And we actually really enjoy doing this. One, it gets us to see each other once a week at least because Jake's in college.
I mean, but I'll be home for the next month, so.
Finals are finished?
Yep. Finished them all this week. It was a stressful time, but it was my first one.
So the first semester is in the books.
Yes, it is.
Hopefully you have a good enough GPA to continue on.
Wow. Thanks, Dad.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
Thanks for the encouragement.
No problem. Well, today our faith question, I found this faith question. I thought it was really interesting. Wanted to really discuss this. Really, when you look at the Christian life and how important it is to have consistency. So the faith question today is, why does consistency matter? When you look across life in general, consistency is a good, healthy thing. So I thought we'd start this way, if it's okay. I thought we would start looking at the mainstream thinking on consistency and why things are important. And I've found a lot of leadership things on consistency. Yeah. Don't want to dive too deeply into that, but just to kind of start the discussion there and then move into the faith realm, if that's okay. Yeah. Consistency, or a lack thereof, can be the defining factor between failure and success. That's what business leaders say, right? Yeah. You look at parenting a child. It's important to have consistency in your parenting. Children learn how to behave through reinforcement, through punishment or consequences, but they also learn through observation. So as parents, we have to learn to be consistent in our parenting, that one parent is consistent in the thinking of the other parent, because let's face it, parents, kids will play us off of each other, won't they? They'll go ask one parent, and then that parent, they won't get the answer they want, so then they go to the other parent.
I remember if I did that, I was punished, because that was the one thing I knew that I could not do.
Exactly. And you learned, right?
I did.
And it was consistent, right?
Yeah.
Well, children need parents to be consistent with them and are trusted not to send conflicting or confusing messages. Consistency as a parent can be difficult. It can be exhausting, but it's so important. From the business world, consistency matters. Why? Why does consistency matter? People often pay more attention to your actions than what you actually say.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is what the business world says, but man, this is so true.
It relates to the faith world.
The faith world, exactly.
I have a quick story about that. I worked at Dairy Queen for 3 years, and I got, by the end of it, I was a shift leader. So it's basically kind of like you could be in charge without the manager being at the store. And when I was interviewing for that job, my boss's boss was interviewing me. He was like, so what do you think matters more? You do what you say, or you say what you do? I found it really important that your actions also are important. If you just say something but you don't fulfill as it or fulfill what you say, it looks really bad on your end and very kind of hypocritical. He really emphasized that he wanted you to do what you say and to follow through with that. I've been taught that I was a senior in high school when he said that. And yes, it's only been like a year since that, but I've learned a lot from that.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table, a father-son show talking about faith, music, and culture. Truth in consistency from, again, the business world is consistency builds trust. And that's exactly what you're referring to there.
Yeah.
When you are consistent in the way you handle things, you're consistent showing up for work every day, that builds trust to your leadership, your management, higher ups. That gives you more opportunity to move up and succeed because of that consistency. Consistency also equals predictability. Inconsistency, when there's not predictability, can lead to uncertainty, it can lead to stress. Yeah. And so they emphasize that in the business world. It also creates, and I thought this was real interesting, when you look at it from the business side of things, and then we move into the faith side of things, consistency creates personal responsibility. Business leaders, business owners, they ask for consistency in their employees' performance, right? They set goals that have to be met, and there's expectations there. So to achieve the optimal results, business leaders establish regular routines for communicating with their people, their employees. They want buy-in. They want the check-in process, right? That creates personal responsibility. Another thing is consistency builds your personal brand. This is from the business world now. And basically, your reputation is your personal brand. We have a reputation because of our following Christ. That is our witness. That is our testimony. So our consistency builds our testimony, our witness.
Yeah. Dr. Bowling actually gave the last chapel where someone spoke, and he talked about how we were advocates for Christ. That is our most important. And like, I'm on a ministry team here at Olivet, so we go out to churches and we play. And so we have to be on our A game and be very...
You're representing
the school, and so you want to give it a good look. And Dr. Bowling really said that we're representing Christ, and we want to give Christ the best view.
Absolutely. Consistency also takes dedication. In the business world, it does, but also in our walk with Christ. It takes dedication to be consistent in our faith walk with Christ. In the world's eyes, consistency sometimes can look like we're staying in one place, we're in one job, we're attending one church for a long period of time. But consistency, to be consistent in Christ's eyes, is that we're consistently attempting to live His will. If our focus is Christ and on Him alone, the circumstances that we find ourselves in matter a whole lot less. We are on mission for Him no matter where we are and no matter what we're doing. Yeah. Some scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will never grow weary and lose heart." I think that's a big part of consistency.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
I also think that with relationships, they are a very special and very important thing to have. I mean, God created this earth so that we could be in relationships, because we can't do this on our own. And He knew that. And so that's why we're just supposed to have relationships. And so if you're not consistent in a relationship, that whole trust thing that you were talking about earlier, you lose that trust, and that relationship's going to start to dwindle, especially because I'm a social work major. And so we talk about the consistency with kids, and kids have that childlike faith, have that childlike trust that they have. If you aren't consistent with them, it's going to damage them more than you think. Consistency, especially I'm speaking to the young adults, teenagers right now. If you are pouring into a kid, or you have a kid that really looks up to you, be consistent with them, because if you just drop off the face of the earth and you don't talk to them anymore, it's going to wreck them. And that's just really hard.
You might be the only consistent factor in their life.
Exactly. Like, you don't know what's going on in their life, really.
We live in a world that is always changing. There's so much change. Consistency often seems to fall to the wayside. It's always about something bigger, something better, but not as often about stability and lasting. Now listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 4. "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any way, in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength."
Yeah.
Content in all situations. That's a part of consistency. Consistent faith. Many times when you lack consistent faith, you jump ship at the first sign of pain or frustration. Whenever life is not going your way, the way you would like it to go, you jump ship. The hardest thing to do is wait on God's will. That is a marker of a consistent faith, when you can be patient and wait for God to reveal what He wants you to do. Think about the examples from Scripture. One of the biggest examples from Scripture is Job and consistency. He was consistent in his faith, enduring the loss of his property, all the deaths of every one of his children, only to be afflicted himself with these painful sores, covered his entire body. He was faithful to God and God's purpose. That's consistency.
Yeah.
A thought I read from a guy named David Bednar said this: "Ordinary people who faithfully, diligently, and consistently do simple things that are right before God will bring forth extraordinary results." So it's not something grandiose in many ways, but it's just that consistency that God is asking us.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
So why do we struggle staying consistent in our faith or in life?
Yeah.
You make a New Year's resolution. You know, as we're getting close to Christmas now, then we're going to make a New Year's resolutions, and we struggle keeping those New Year's resolutions. Yeah. I forget what the percentage is. People give up by the third week of January.
Like, no, I was like, I think it's February.
It's a high percentage.
Yeah,
you want to lose weight. You want to exercise more. We struggle with that consistent routine of doing that. So consistency, and we need to remember this, does not come with immediate results in anything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we tend to give up when we don't see the immediate results.
Consistent. I think that's a thing that's especially with this generation. We do come from iPhones and fast internet, and so we're used to getting everything like
instantaneous.
And so now being patient is awful. No one wants to be patient anymore. And that's the thing. Like, God is a very patient person. His timing is perfect. That's another trust thing that you really have. You have to trust that he's in control, but it's sometimes hard to trust that.
Right.
Because sometimes situations are so...
That's what builds our faith.
Yeah, exactly.
When we have those situations and you're like, man, I do not see where this is going, God.
And then, if you're consistent with your relationship with God, that builds the trust between you and God, then you'll see it. It's just going to be rough.
You're correct. Yeah. At the same time, God's a big God. He can take us saying to him, man, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm not happy about this, but I will consistently trust you.
Uh-huh.
Consistency takes daily work and resolve.
Yeah.
We also lack the ability as humans to see the big picture. God sees the big picture. So really, it takes a change of perspective on our parts. And again, even with that change of perspective, we still are probably not going to see the big picture here. We should be continually and constantly seeking God to adjust our perspective, building our faith, building our trust in him. Another reason that consistency can be so difficult is because consistency can become boring. Routine can become boring.
Yeah.
We live in a time where things are always changing. They're always progressing. You know, you get a new cell phone update every year. We've grown accustomed to change that we've forgotten really what it is, the beauty of stability and patience and consistency. And because of that, we tend to forget what we're passionate about. Faith consists in believing when it is beyond the power of reason to believe. Quote by Voltaire. You can tweet that one for you. Following Christ in our daily lives is what consistency is all about. Following Christ in our lives is discipleship, and I think many times we forget that. We need to keep constantly in our mind that we are undergoing a process of transformation, and that involves two different sides, the one we see and the one we feel.
Yeah.
The more important one is the one we feel, the ministry that God is doing within us in secret. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." That would be what you see. Now, the second part of that, the next verse, is what we feel. And it looks like this, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purposes." So really, that's what it is. It's what we can see, but it's also what God is doing that we don't see in our lives. Consistency allows that process to happen.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Here's a math problem for you.
Dude, I just finished finals.
I know, but you know,
I don't want to do
math. It's more of a word problem, okay?
So is it math or English?
It's you take
your
pick.
Or is it a math word problem?
It's a math word. Well, okay. I don't know. It's an equation. How about that?
Okay.
It's already solved. Faith equals obedience to God's word and consistency in our walk. Obedience exhibits itself in a consistent walk of following God. You believe that?
I like that math.
You like that math?
Yeah.
That math's okay.
That math's good.
You remember the parable of the sower? It's one of Jesus' parables. You can find it in Matthew. You can find it in Mark. And Luke, you basically have the seeds on the ground. And what kind of ground? Got it. Okay, right. Now you remember. Well, there's different types of soil there, and it sort of plays into this. The first soil uses the word immediate. It describes someone who is not achieving any level of obedience. They don't understand the command because they're not fully interested in hearing the command. So there's really no period of obedience in there. Yeah, the second kind of soil, which is there's an insufficient period of obedience. So phrases like after a while, only temporary are used in that scripture, that part of the story. This obedience lasts until it's tested, and they fail during a time of temptation. So that failure interrupts the obedience, and the seed does not ripen. The third kind of soil is inconsistent obedience. It's an up-down, inconsistent type of obedience. There is a span of time where thorns are apparently given time to grow and choke out the good seed. So the good seed is allowed in, but yeah, so are the thorns. So there's disobedience in the form of irresponsibility on our part that allow the thorns to grow. You have to have that consistent obedience through this process. That gets you to the fourth kind of soil, which is obedience is reached and accepted. The words they use in there are hold it fast, with perseverance, brings forth. This is fully involved in helping those seeds to grow. They're active and attentive to the seeds. The temptations are overcome. The thorns that are grown in, that's overcome. Obedience, responsibility, and perseverance are necessary at that time. That is consistency. Believing is simply acting consistent with a knowing from God, a knowing of what you have and of what you know to do. This knowing, understanding what God wants from us, comes from God's word. That's what consistency is all about. Believing is simply acting consistent with a knowing from God. I like that thought. So this is why consistency matters in our faith walk. I sort of got the idea for this question about consistency of just being a part of a church body in a community, attending church consistently. Now they say that the average person, if they get 50% of the Sundays a week, they're considered a regular attender.
Really?
Half of them. Man, when I was a kid, it was Sunday morning, it was Sunday night, it was Wednesday night, it was every time the church was open, we were there.
Basically how you know? I am.
Right?
I'm just so involved that I'm always there.
That can be a good thing.
I mean, yeah, I love it.
But I found an article about why church attendance matters, and it's really why not just church attendance, but this consistency matters. Why being consistent in our walk with God? We're prioritizing God. We're prioritizing His Word as the first thing in our life.
Yeah.
We're demonstrating our love for Jesus. It's a known fact that the children of parents who do not attend church consistently are more likely to walk away from Christianity when they become adults and make their own decisions. You believe that?
No, I do.
Consistency provides the opportunity for you to constantly be in God's Word, and you are getting something new from Scripture regularly. The consistency of your walk with Christ also helps speak to those who don't know Him. They see how consistent you are in your relationship, or someone who's new in the faith sees your consistency. That's how they learn. Again, it's a modeled thing.
Yeah.
Consistency in our walk with Christ cultivates a heart attitude of gratefulness. It also encourages other believers as we walk this journey together.
Being very consistent is just an important aspect to really learn and to really hold on to, because one, it improves yourself. It improves your self-determination and your responsibility, self-responsibility. But then it also improves the people around you. It helps you build relationships with people. Anything else, if you don't want to do it just for those reasons, I mean, it's kind of like networking. If you're consistent, and I'm thinking with like business and just with church and everything, just relationships are what keep you. Relationships are honestly one of the biggest things in my life. And so that consistency with those relationships is what really helps build those.
From Oswald Chambers, the secret of spiritual consistency. When a person is newly born again, he seems inconsistent due to his unrelated emotions and the state of the external things or circumstances in his life. The Apostle Paul had a strong and steady underlying consistency in his life. Consequently, he could let his external life change without internal distress because he was rooted and grounded in Christ. Most of us are not consistent spiritually because we are more concerned about being consistent externally. The external expressions of things. Paul lived in the basement while his critics lived on the upper level, and these two levels do not begin to touch each other. But Paul's consistency was deep down in the fundamentals. The great basis of his consistency was the agony of God in the redemption of the world, namely the cross of Christ. Thought that was good. Good way to end that. The importance of consistency. Consistency matters in life beyond just your faith walk. It is your testimony. So that wraps up the faith question today. We're going to move into our next segment called Music Matters. Okay, so Music Matters, this is a time where we share music together. We're big music fans.
Yeah, we are.
And I usually bring a song, Jake brings a song, fairly new song, and then we'll go back in time and I'll pull one out from history. So I have a brand new one.
Do you?
It's brand new. I like this band. I've met with them personally. They're very friendly. They are in it for the right reasons. They've had some big songs. Seventh Time Down. They're from Kentucky. Oh, yeah. Their lead singer is Mikey. He goes by Mikey. Mikey. Not Mike. Not Michael. Mikey. And you probably know some of their songs. But they have a new song coming out called The 99.
Reckless Love?
Nope, it's not. It's sort of along those lines. It's the same parable, of course, where the shepherd will leave behind the 99 to go look for the one that's lost. So I have Mikey to talk about the song. Okay.
In the book of Luke, Jesus tells a story about a lost sheep. The Message version says it like this. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? Jesus goes on to say, count on it. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. We pray that our song, The 99, will remind the world that Jesus is in the business of rescue. The son of Eugene Peterson said at his father's funeral that even though his father wrote many sermons and published many books, that really, Eugene only had one sermon and one message. And that same message, I believe, sums up our song, The 99, perfectly. God loves you. God is on your side. He is coming after you, and he is relentless.
Here's a little clip of The 99 from Seven Time Down.
I've always been a big fan of them. They were always good. I'm interested.
Yeah, they're just good guys. Yeah, they're just good down-home Kentucky kind of guys, and they're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, they are. All right, so my song for the week, it's by Brian and Kate Torwalt. They are a power worship couple, and they've actually written some songs that you know that have been sung by others. So they wrote Holy Spirit, which is sung by
Francesca Botticelli.
But the song, they just released a new EP of their own album. The title track is called Praise Before My Breakthrough. This song is very just the words hit home because it's talking about how we just need to praise God even in the high moments, because that's what it's talking about. It's praise before my breakthrough, because I want to be praising God as I'm going up.
So you're not even on the mountaintop yet.
Yeah, you're not even. Like, I want to be praising on my way up to the mountaintop, on my incline of life. So here's a little snippet of Praise Before My Breakthrough.
Great song from those guys.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Them. We've done the new stuff. Now we step back in time a little bit. This is a segment we call Oldie But Goldie.
You got it right. Good job.
Thank you. I still wrote it wrong on my sheet here,
did
too.
You really?
I know. It's terrible. I'm actually going back just before you were born.
So 98?
97.
Oh.
Not super old in the life of music, but this is a genre that has an interesting history. And I don't even know if you know this genre. Do you know ska?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ska,
you know, there's like these three different waves, so to speak, of ska. There was the original beginning of ska music, which was, you know, from Jamaica in the 60s, late 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
And then there's the second wave, which they called two-tone. And that happened in England, and that was in the 70s. And that started to infuse more of the punk rock kind of sound into the ska. And then what they call wave three, which came through in the 80s and 90s. And it's interesting that in Christian music, the third wave, Christian music came along with it as well.
Yeah.
And they actually stretched out because it sort of died off mainstream again, but Christian ska music was huge. And there were certain bands that were just a part of this. There was Five-Eyed Frenzy. There was the W's, which had a big song. But the biggest group from that ska era was the OC Supertones.
I don't even know any of those names you just said.
That's why I'm bringing it back to you. OC, of course, they were Orange County. That was kind of a center for that third wave of ska music, was from Orange County, California. And so the band is the OC Supertones, and this is a little snippet from 1997 of their song Supertones Strike Back.
But that was interesting.
See, now you got to go back and listen to all these ska bands.
Well, I knew ska. The only reason I knew what ska was because Jimmy Fallon has a little thing where he does like the music mat, whatever.
Is that where they do the elementary music instruments?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the one where he brings an artist and then they hit like the button and they give like a popular song and then they have to do it to the style.
Okay.
And so they did, I think, Wheels on the Bus to ska.
Was Gwen Stefani there that one?
No, it was Ariana Grande.
Because her band, no doubt, was sort of ska-ish in the time.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know ska.
All right, we'll check it out.
I will.
Okay, that wraps up Music Matters. It's time now to step into Culture Shock. Culture Shock's a little bit different this week. Lots of stuff going on we could be talking about in our culture. Christmas is coming up, lots of different things there. But I found something that I'm like, you know what, I really want to do this for Culture Shock. And this is specifically for parents, because the whole premise of this show is to talk about faith issues with your kids. Mm-hmm. And I found an article, believe it or not, when your kids ask the tricky faith questions, the ones you're just like, Mom, why does God let people die?
I've asked that question.
How do you respond to that question? This is basically, I'll just give you insight into the parent's brain at this point, Jake. The parent on the outside is going, well, God, trying to come up with an answer. While that's coming out of our mouths, this is what's going through our brain. I don't know the answer to this. What if I'm wrong? What if it sounds really stupid? What if my answer make God sounds bad? I don't have time to answer this deep question. Jeez, give me a break, kid. I'm not even Google. That's what's going on through our brain. It's interesting. This talked about a study that was done. One out of every 8 children will talk to their mom about faith. One out of every 25 children will talk to their dad.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It also says that kids who are talking together with their parents about the faith issues will experience more lifelong faith than those that aren't talking to their parents. So this just establishes the importance of what we're doing with our program here. This is why we do this, okay? To answer the questions, and let's face it, Jake, you didn't come to me with a ton of deep theological questions.
No.
Maybe you went to Mom with some, but I think you had many questions answered because we made faith a natural part of our everyday family life.
Yeah, when I look back on it, it's more because it wasn't like, oh, we're having a faith talk right now. It was like, oh, we're just talking, and faith is just kind of like a natural communication.
It's just part of the DNA of the family.
Yeah, exactly.
How do we make faith more natural in your family? Here's some suggestions I have for you. We have to model faith as parents. We don't need to come off like a pastor. You know, we don't need to wear a robe and sing songs and quote scripture all day and spin around on the mountaintop singing in the habit.
Can you please do that?
No, I will not do that. We just need to show them the simple way that we're practicing our faith.
Yeah.
Let them see you pray. Let them see you reading the Bible. Talk about Jesus. Talk to Jesus out loud and around them. So that's just simply us modeling our faith. Also, we need to readjust our expectations as parents. Guess what? You don't have to be perfect. Guess what? You're not. You aren't expected to know all the answers. Doubts are okay. For example, your child asks you that question we started out this segment with. Mom, why does God let people die? This could be your answer. I have no idea why God lets people die. Death is scary to me, but I try to trust God and what the Bible says about heaven. That is a perfectly accepted answer to that question. Your kids don't need the appearance of perfection. Much of the time, they don't even need the right answer. They just want you to be authentic and real with them. Another way to make your faith more natural as a part of your family is to have fun. Don't try to make it forced. Don't try to make it boring. Just have fun with it. Make it interactive. Make it interesting. Make it imaginative. Just let it be a natural part of your family DNA. Start there with the faith conversations.
I think that's a really good way, because a lot of my friends ask me, because I text you guys all the time. And so my friends are asking me, like, how are you so close with your parents? Because I was like, literally, my parents are like two of my best friends now. It's a very exciting thing to have because I don't see you as like authoritative figures looking over me and telling me what to do. I see you more as like my friends, and you support me in everything that I do.
We provide wise counsel.
Yes. Mentors.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was just joking, but if you'll take that, I'll get it.
You're a sometimes. You're a maybe. Mom's always, yeah. But you're a maybe. People just are like, I wish I had that relationship with my parents. And I just want everyone to have that because it is very nice.
And unfortunately, there are situations where you can't have that.
There are.
But you can find someone in your life to have that kind of relationship with, some kind of mentor, friend, authority figure. It's the phrase, and I've heard it many times, who's discipling you? Mm-hmm. And who are you discipling? Because it's not
circle of influence.
It's not just, you know, you receiving from somebody. You need to be passing it on as well. And that's why Jake talks about hanging out with kids and being real with them and consistency with them. Uh-huh. A great show today, I thought. Appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully you got some answers, some insight. We certainly hope so. We would love to hear from you, get a faith question from you. The best way to do that
is by going to the Shine.fm Chicago Facebook page and going into the private group of The Kitchen Table. We will accept you. We're accepting of everybody. We love you all. Comment some questions or just discussion on that page, and we will probably do it on air. We love to answer other people's questions. We're not doing this just for us. We're doing it for you guys too, and so we really want that.
And we also want you to subscribe to the podcast, the Shine.fm podcast channel. I'll tell you why. The Kitchen Table, of course, airs on Shine.fm. So if you're hearing this on the radio, you can get it here. But we have other podcasts that are on the channel that you can't get anywhere else. We have Heather from Middays, who does a momcast. We just started a new one called Shine 180. The first episode launched on Friday. And it's basically longer life stories, and not just the little segments you hear on Shine, but the full story of lives that have been transformed by God. And it's amazing. So Lori's story is up. It launched on Friday, and it's just an incredible story. So listen to that one if you have a chance. And subscribe on Podbean, on iTunes, or follow the Shine.fm YouTube channel. It's up there as well. So thanks so much for hanging out with us this week. Have a blessed week as Christmas approaches. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yep. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm podcast network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.